The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS. A bit of a public service announcement. The Denver Department of Health has issued a warning. I'm sorry to say this, but it's a warning that involves an establishment in Denver that I don't know that Billy knows it, but it's a place called, and if I mispronounce this, forgive me, Diamond Cabaret. I'm sorry, it's a Diamond Cabaret. I kid you not, the Denver Department of Public Health and Environment is working with management from Diamond Cabaret to notify entertainers of a potential monkeypox virus exposure that occurred in the club between Tuesday, July the 12th and Saturday, July the 16th. That sounds awful. If that's you out there, Billy.
Just the one virus? Not any other accompanying viruses?
No. I imagine this is a series of public health announcements,
okay.
But this is the one that's the most pressing.
Oh, okay.
Is for the monkeypox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was something that was caught at the buffet.
Yeah. By the way, they do have an excellent buffet is what I've heard. I've heard that. I haven't been there, but I've heard it's excellent. Prime rib, roast beef, all that good stuff. But Tuesday, July the 12th through Saturday, July 16th, if that was you, those spots on your hands are not a good sign. So do what you can to get that addressed. Now, listen, shifting gears entirely, we have in studio with us and on the line two folks who are no strangers to the radio station and to anyone who's been out there following politics, and that is on the phone, Christy Burton Brown, and in the studio, Priscilla Ron. Good morning to you both. Christy, how are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
We got to get you in studio here, too, at some point. Christy, I think the difference is you don't have to go to work on your way here. We have Priscilla, who is, as soon as I see Priscilla, I realize you're going into work.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Plus, I ran out of cigars and whiskey, so I had to, you know.
She had formerly been doing the interviews from, I want to say, like, probably a food-stained robe, like a white one with things where you look down and you're like, was that mustard at one point? And you're smoking a cigar, drinking some sort of whiskey-laden coffee, as you call into the show. But no more. That's just you, Christy. You're allowed to be the only half-drunk person on the radio right now.
Wow.
Hey, first off, update us on where we're at. The primaries are over. There's a bunch of stuff going on across the country that seems to attract a lot of attention, specifically those primaries for United States Senate, some of the gubernatorial ones. But here in Colorado, we're really kind of in the home stretch already. Christy, what's going on?
Yeah, today, 99 days before the election, George, ballots, of course, get mailed out weeks before that here in Colorado. So it is prime time with all of our candidates across the state. I know Priscilla and I both and all of our staff are all talking to candidates, working with them, doing walk days. We're about to have a new office opened up in Thornton in CD8 with multiple new members of our staff working out of there, reaching out really into the Hispanic community quite a bit. So it's voter contact time, talking to people every single day about our candidates.
Priscilla, what are you seeing out there in terms of the issues that are catching fire? And I'm going to ask as a follow-up, is it a distraction at all in what's going on to have Tina Peters and at least the others from El Paso County now calling for and paying for a recount of the primary?
Well, we knew a long time ago last year when we did our press conference at the gas station that the issue of inflation, safety, affordability, these issues, education, these are everyday issues that people are talking about that haven't been solved and can't be solved by the current legislature and the current leaders in our state. So we're consistently talking to voters about how we're going to solve these problems and giving concrete plans to voters. with all of the things that are happening outside of our candidates, you know, we're just laser focused on our candidates and our message. I think that's the way to go about messaging. I think there are people who have different priorities in the party, and that's their right to pursue what they think should be solutions. But as a party and other volunteers, we know that we can't do anything about the 2020 election as far as, the 22 election, considering what happened in 2020. But we are encouraging people to become poll watchers and election judges and get out the vote and make sure we vote. We can't have an undervote in any of our races. And so that's what we're focused on.
I am so happy that you reminded me and us of the press conference at, I think it was a Sinclair station, that took place last year. Christy, do you remember the mockery that you guys suffered at the hands of the liberal mainstream media and the Dems for standing there at the gas station and then, holy prescient, because here we are drowning in these gas prices? That was genius.
Yeah, no, it was pretty funny, George. At the time, you know, all they could talk about is, oh my goodness, bad air in Denver, which, I mean, who's in charge of cleaning up Colorado? I thought it was the Democrats. And that's all we could talk about, especially Nine News and some of the mainstream. But once we got away from that, George, I think there's been so many media articles between last August and this August about the Republican commitment to Colorado and the fact that we were right about gas prices. We're right about the prices people are paying at the grocery store, about rising crime that shows no signs of lowering and going away here in Colorado. And actually, speaking of that press conference, George, we are having another one on August 9th to talk about the commitment to Colorado again. Our statewide candidates, our caucuses are participating, and we're going to bring the right issues again to the forefront here in Colorado that we are hearing at the doors every single day from voters.
Christy Burton Brown and Priscilla Ron from the state party here. I do want to ask about some of the races specifically, and I mean, harder questions too. The easiest race for me and for you to talk about, in my opinion, Priscilla, would be the treasurer's race, because Lang Sias, who's like no joke Top Gun maverick. I mean, the guy was a naval aviator. I mean, I don't know. I think he was a Top Gun graduate. I mean, this is a legit guy. Also, stand-up dude. I've run into him at a couple wrestling events. Our boys are the same age that go to these wrestling things. Super guy. And nobody, I think, in Colorado can name who the current state treasurer is. So I feel like Lang's in a good position to win that one. But let's work our way up the ladder a little bit. And that is, for Secretary of State, you've got Pam Anderson, who was running against two other folks who had varying shades of stolen election as part of their platform. Pam gets distance from that, but now she's facing a formidable candidate. And I don't say that because I think Jen is like super intellectual or she's done great work. But holy money bags. I mean, she has used that position to be hyper-partisan, and it's paid off. She's had a ton of campaign contribution. How is Pam going to compete from your vantage point, Priscilla, as you look at this moving forward? I mean, we have some advantages. It's the year. But her fundraising is very, very light.
Well, I mean, you said it right there. We have got to donate to our candidates. We have to open our pocketbook. And we have an opportunity coming up with that $750 bribe check from Jared Polis, who is a hater of Tabor, but all of a sudden on election year, yeah, he's a Tabor hater, but not when it benefits him. And we deserve better. We deserve better leadership. That's, you know, he's such a con man. And so what I'm asking everybody to do, I'm putting out the challenge. You know, after you put take that check, fill up one tank of gas.
Yeah, that's half the check.
And what I was going to say, with the $16 you have left, go ahead and donate it to a Republican candidate, because we have got to win this election. But Pam is solid. She has clerk and recorder experience. She has executive experience. She's extremely smart. She's fair. She's going to take away the partisanship out of that office.
I agree.
I mean, that's exactly what we need in a candidate.
Yeah, bring back boring to the Secretary of State's office, and Pam will do that. I agree. She doesn't feel partisan to me at all. Bring back a grown-up to the room. Bring back someone who's actually voted in each of the last, I don't know how many elections. All those things are different. Christy, working our way up the ladder, talking about the Attorney General's race. John Kellner, eminently qualified. He's got great issues to talk about with Phil, especially when you know, Phil is out there talking about a policy that he pushes, which is when someone steals three or four cars within a three-month period, maybe they ought to be kept in jail because you might get the sense that they would reoffend. A lot of that is great stuff. Once again, the hurdle for John, in my opinion, is not going to be the year. It's certainly not his opponent. It's his opponent's superpower of raising money. That cat has huge cash. John, not as much. How do we win that race?
Yes, sir, George, I think there's a few answers on that. I think, first of all, there are, for attorney generals, the Republicans have a national organization, the Republican Attorney General Association, that often will come in. I mean, you know, they just put money, for example, in your race when you ran.
A lot, yeah.
And so attorney generals do have that option of national organizations coming in and putting money in the race, and especially with crime being such an issue. We also see Phil Weiser currently, as you mentioned, tripping all over himself.
Oh,
and that clip of him saying three or four vehicles, once you steal that, like maybe we get serious at that point. I mean, over 87,000 people viewed that on Twitter.
87,000?
With no money behind it at all. It just spread like that.
Can we do this, though, Christy? Because you and I, and I retweeted your thing because I thought it was brilliant. You and I have heard the response from Phil's people, which is, that was taken out of context. That was misleading. So here's what we're going to do before you continue. We're going to let him give all the context he wants.
Okay, let's do it.
Oh, hang on. Hey, Billy, when I try to press this button and it doesn't make noise, how do I make it make noise? I'm trying to make it make noise, Billy. Sorry. All right, hang on. Now I'm pressing a button to make noise.
It's worth noting that different judicial districts in Colorado have had different results. Jefferson County, Larimer County, crime rates have actually gone down.
Not true.
During the pandemic. As Attorney General, I've got the ability to view across our state and look at different practices. What's happening? How do we make sure we operate most effectively?
Here it is.
And part of the problem is some judicial districts haven't done a great job managing pretrial, and they've let people out who are likely to commit more crimes. So after someone commits a third or fourth car theft in, say, 3 months, they should be kept in with a really high bond, because you got a sense they're going to get out, they're going to commit more crimes.
Sense.
Now, in Larimer, that's what they do. In Jeffco, that's what they do.
Well, there it is. That's the full context right there, Christy. I'm not sure how your abbreviated clip robs that of any of the meaning that he intended, which was to tout Jefferson County as an example. And I think he's been given bad information by saying that, you know, crime has dropped and the car theft numbers in Jeffco are worse last year over this period of time than any other county in the metro area, up 26%. And maybe it's because they don't get a sense someone's going to reoffend until they've stolen three or four cars in 3 months. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe they need to work on that sense.
That'd be a clue, George.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm sorry to cut you off. I just wanted to put that out there.
I'm glad you did. I think the more people that hear that, the better. And I think that's a problem. So Elijah, he's not a criminal attorney of any sense in the word. He's not a defense attorney, not a prosecutor. He knows nothing about how to actually stop crime here in Colorado. And then he gets us in a debate, says fake, false information about when we should consider someone a repeat offender. And then he gets mad when people actually talk about what he said and how wrong he is. You know, he thinks he's always right. He thinks he's a professor. But that's not what we need in the attorney general's office. And I think the more we expose it, George, people are interested in this kind of information. It kind of shocks them that those are the kind of things the person who claims to be the top law enforcement officer in Colorado is saying. So
he's also running the 12th Judicial District. The governor appointed him to I don't know about temporarily. The governor's given no indication of when he's going to actually put a real district attorney in there. But Phil's taken over the prosecution of one of the 22 judicial districts and has, to this day, maybe has still never been inside a courtroom. I don't know. So that's a problem. Do you think that the money issue, and I agree Raga will show up, I don't know how much, but they'll show up. But you and I know something that most folks don't, and that is money spends differently depending upon whether it comes from the candidate or a third party. And my guess is it's still about a 3-to-1 exchange rate, which means for every dollar the candidate spends on advertising, it takes 3 times that amount to get the same advertising time if you're a third party. Is that still true?
It's true on TV. Yeah, I don't know that it's necessarily true on mail and digital. But
no, I don't know that. I don't think it's true on mail, and I don't think it's true on digital. But on the FCC stuff, I do think it's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which, to your point, George, is why our candidates have to get out there and fundraise. That is their job, contacting voters and fundraising. And when you fundraise, you get to contact more voters. So without a doubt, our candidates have to be laser-focused from the next, for the next 99 days on fundraising and getting as much into their campaigns as they can. It's tough, but it's worth it, and it's how you have to what you have to do to win.
Priscilla, you and I had a conversation as we were grabbing radio station coffee for me, and you, a much safer choice, water. But let me ask you this. We have Heidi Ganahl, who wins the primary pretty convincingly, and then runs into a bit of a trip, and I would say a trip, nothing she could have predicted, but she had originally forecasted, I'm going to nominate a Hispanic from rural Colorado, and then the person I think that she wanted had different thoughts and maybe went a different direction, so she had to shift fire, ended up going with Danny Moore. Danny Moore's got an incredible background, an incredible success story, but also brings with him some of the stolen election stuff. And so as we continue to push forward with, you know, it's time for a change under the Gold Dome, how does that, in your opinion, impact the discussions that are going on in getting support for governor?
Everybody's talking about Heidi. You know, my grandfather used to have this quote, and it was like, they're majoring in the minors. People focus on the things that are not most important. You know, when you look at Danny's resume and history, it's stellar. He's a, you know, a veteran.
Yep.
He's a businessman.
Successful,
he's capable, yeah. Smart, kind, you know, married, father, you know,
yep.
Like all of
good
these,
dude.
All
yep.
of these wonderful things. And, you know, it's the left's job to try to pick one little thing to try to taint him. And, you know, every time I have an opportunity to highlight hypocrisy, you know, we have a black man who's successful,
yeah.
Who's a conservative, and they're going to find any way to tear him down.
That's
and
racist.
I think it is very racist. It's
yeah.
unfair. And so they need to lay off and let's focus on what matters. When you have two entrepreneurs, family people, conservatives with a great platform and bringing solutions, and their whole goal is to try to help Coloradans, that's exactly what we need. And so I would encourage people to focus on that. Heidi's an amazing candidate. She's out in the community. She was just the keynote speaker at the Liberian Independence Organization
wow.
annual event. Rave reviews. Everybody's very happy with who she is and the solution she's bringing in. She cares about everybody. She's one of the most caring people that I've met. And I think that she's exactly what we need at this time.
I think Heidi's also very upbeat and positive. Like,
absolutely.
All the time.
Optimistic, yeah.
I still, at this point now, it's become a personal challenge to make her upset. I can't seem to figure out how to do it, but I've tried a bunch. Christy, when you look at that race, and we just talked about it for two of the others, the money disparity cannot be made up by the RGA. It can't be made up by donors. I mean, the guy that she's facing, the incumbent, bought his way onto the school board, bought his way into the governorship, and it seems intent to put himself in a position to run for president on the backs of Coloradans. How in the world do you defeat a guy who has yet to write a check, but can write one for $1 jillion?
Yeah, George, I think it really comes down to whether or not voters allow themselves to be bought here in Colorado. That's absolutely what Jared Polis thinks he can do. It's what he wants to do. I mean, there's so many holes to poke in what he has done in Colorado over the last 3 years. I mean, raising taxes and fees 85 times, appointing an awful parole board that has let sex
oh, yeah.
offenders against children go free and repeat their offenses again against more children.
Yep.
There's so many things to talk about that he's done. I think what Heidi has to do with limited funds in comparison to Polis is really target her message. This is something the Republicans are much better at than the Democrats. They blanketly spend a ton of money, put out puff pieces. When we've seen Michael Bennett's first commercial, a complete puff piece that's out of touch with what people are actually talking about. And I think Jared Polis will do roughly the same thing. When we spend our money, we have to target it on the exact issues that those specific voters care about. Expose what Polis and Bennett and all the others have been doing over the last multiple years that they've controlled Colorado, and then trust voters to not allow themselves to be bought by someone who just wants to act like a king, sit in his office, and believe it's owed to him. And in the end, George, that will be the people's choice.
Christy Burton Brown and Priscilla Ron, do you guys have time to hang on through a break and come back and we can continue to talk? I do want to talk about that Joe O'Day, Michael Bennett race that you just talked about. Can you stick around, Christy?
I can. Thank you.
And Priscilla, can you stick around? You are physically here, so we can just lock the door and keep you here.
Yeah.
If that's all right. We're going to get back to Christy Burton Brown and Priscilla Ron here in just a moment. Before we cut away for a break, I do want to ask you about, I know it's going to sound crazy, dreaming. Because summer is a time for dreaming. And for many of us, me included, as I drive around and see some of the things being built and some of the other awesome houses for sale, I dream about a new home. Not because I don't love our home. I do. But I think to myself, man, that would be so cool. That would be so great. Love to get in there. This is a challenging real estate market. And if you're one of those people that is thinking to themselves, is now the right time either to sell, buy, or both, maybe not even in that order, then you got to call one person. That one person is Gay Ribble with Empower Home Team of Keller Williams Realty DTC. You've heard me talk about Gay for a long time for a couple reasons. One, she's a genius at what she does. She's been in this business for a long time, hugely successful. She has like 15,000, I was going to say jillion, but it's really like 15,000 buyers in waiting ready to jump on the homes that become available. And she can also sell your house for top dollar, even as mortgage rates continue to make this market even more challenging. Gay will do stuff other realtors won't. She'll guarantee in writing to sell your home at your agreed-to price and time frame, or she'll buy it. That's crazy. Take her up on that crazy guarantee. And the last thing I'll say, and this isn't even part of any script that they would want to talk about, she is a good person, and that matters to me. She won't just do a good job for you in finding a home and helping you sell your home. She's a person who's passionate about adoption. And in this day and age, with all the issues being talked about, don't you want someone who's invested in the idea of making families, not destroying them? Gay Ribble's that person. She's fantastic. Call her today, 833-301-SOLD, 833-301-SOLD, or visit gayhasthebuyers.com. We spell gay, G-A-Y-E, hasthebuyers.com. When we come back, Christy Burton Brown and Priscilla Ron, it's me, George, on The George Show, right here on 710 KNUS. Little Pearl Jam here, Blast from the Past. That's early 90s for those of you who remember way back then. George Brockler with you here on 710 KNUS. In studio with us, Priscilla Ron, Vice Chair of the GOP. Still on the phone with us right now, foolishly, Christy Burton Brown, risking whatever potential career she has in the future by answering questions here on the radio. Thank you for staying on. Maybe she didn't. Maybe Christy. But oh, yeah, I'm so sorry.
I'm here.
Taking that last swig of the brown medicine. I got it right there. Getting for the answers.
It's called coffee. No,
yeah.
Coffee.
Right. That's, of course, everyone knew that's what I meant was the coffee. Christy, as we look at that race that you started talking about, Ben and I, we've got Joe O'Day, a good dude, not a politician. Well, now he is. Now he's stuck. Once you run for office, you can't run away from it. You are a politician. So he's not a politician other than this race. He's got the ability to raise funds. He's getting out there. He poses a great contrast. What's going to happen, though, when it comes time? Just as you can tell, Bennett's already starting to spend money. He's going to have a bunch of money being spent. The fact that Georgia seems like it's cratering, Pennsylvania's becoming challenging, the focus on Colorado may increase quite a bit. How do we win that race?
You know, George, I think it's like all the other races. It really is about getting out there and talking about how Michael Bennett, the Democrat who's been in office for a long time, has done nothing for Colorado. And, I mean, nothing proves that point more than the ad that Bennett has up on TV right now. It is, in fact, the same ad with, you know, maybe a different hiking trail in it than that he aired in his last two elections, saying, if you elect me, I'm going to go stop stock trading by members of Congress. I mean, which average person have you talked to recently that named that as their top issue? And Michael Bennett has said he's going to do that the last two times he got elected. He's currently, I actually checked, the top three bills going through Congress right now and through the Senate on that issue. He's not a sponsor or co-sponsor on a single one of them. So he's not even leading or hoping to lead on even the out-of-touch issues he talks about. So the more money that's out there, it unfortunately does go back to money, but the more money that's out there, blaming Michael Bennett for his failure to deliver and talking about what Joe O'Dea has done for people here in Colorado and what he will do to be an independent voice for Colorado in the U.S., I think will be very important in that race.
I think for me, too, some of what I, you know, has been building up over the last few election cycles is that we've gotten to this place now where you can't just be a bad senator, you have to be perceived as a bad person. And I don't hear you saying that. And I know Michael Bennett a little bit just from bumping into him at political things. I don't think he's a bad person. I do think he's a bad and ineffective senator. I don't know anybody in America who has spent more time in the U.S. Senate who has lower name ID across whatever state they're from. And in part, it's because of what you said. Guy hasn't been the tip of the spear really on anything. And in fact, the ad that we should be running, anyone at the national or the state level, ought to be them at the pump talking to someone, and then they have that moment when they look at the final charge and they yell the F word. You know, what the? Because every time I – and I drive a hybrid because I'm a tree lover, right? Every time I go to pull that the nozzle out of my car, I look back at the number and I'm like, did I fill up two cars? Like, what the hell? I mean, it's incredible. Priscilla, when you look at the race, though – one of the things that's true, and you talked about this with the lieutenant governor question I asked you with Danny, there's going to be debates that are coming up. And everybody on our side, everybody that's in the game gets all super excited about, there's going to be a debate and they're going to mop up the floor. In my experience, and that's having come from a race where I felt like there wasn't a single debate that I didn't come away with the better of it, you can't win a race in the debates or the forums. All you can do is lose it, and you lose it by making a misstep. Is it going to matter here or be a game changer if Bennett does or doesn't take on Joe O'Dea?
Well, I mean, it's we need our candidates to be out there, and we need unaffiliated voters to hear from our candidates. So a debate option is – I have full confidence in Joe to be able to debate the issues with Michael Bennett. Michael Bennett – like you said, where's the heartbeat? Where is the passion for Colorado? Where's the solutions? And I don't see that from him. I mean, I was a teacher. I'm still a teacher in DPS when he was the superintendent. 2 years of a pay freeze under his administration. The polls right now with this administration are the lowest they've ever been.
Oh my goodness.
And he's a part of that administration. I don't see any solutions for Americans, and I don't see any solutions for Coloradans, and I think we can do better. And this is the opportunity, and we have to take a look at everything all the way down the ballot. And Joe O'Dea being our next senator, helping to make those decisions about Supreme Court justices and committee people and other appointments in this administration, we need Joe to be able to help fix the problems.
Look, I'm glad you brought that up with the Supreme Court justices. How much is abortion going to impact this race? And I ask that from the context of someone who is in a state, as you guys are, who has maybe the most liberal abortion law in America, if not the planet Earth. I mean, there European countries don't go as far as Colorado has. And yet you can't turn on the TV without hearing the Democrats talk about how this election is pivotal if you care at all about women's rights and all this other stuff. Priscilla,
right.
How do we address that?
This is the thing about knowledge and people educating themselves about states' rights, where we currently have a senator who would vote against state rights. I mean, he's supposed to be representing the state, not representing the federal government. And he took an oath to uphold the Constitution. Well, the Constitution really puts more of the power back to the states. And that's what he should be supporting. But when you look at his voting record, he votes to give more power to the federal government. And I think that that's not what we expect from our state senator.
Christy, are you getting any sense of the coming campaign for the general from the Dems? Is it going to be heavy on the abortion issue, on the women's rights issue? Or, I mean, how do they pivot away from the fact that the economy sucks?
Yeah, you know, George, I think it's one of the few places they think they can go. They are really leaning into the culture wars themselves. And I think, you know, they did this in 2014, back when they attempted and failed to defeat Cory Gardner. Mark Udall was solely focused on the issue of abortion. And it backfired on him because despite the Democrats' imagination, abortion is not the only issue that women care about. Abortion is not the only issue that Coloradans care about. We do care about what we're paying at the gas pump and at the grocery store. And when one party has solutions to fix that And all the other one can talk about is their extreme position on abortion. It doesn't go over well with voters. So, yeah, I think that's what they're going to do, but I don't think it's going to pay off for them, especially, George, when our candidates are asked about abortion, all we have to do is say, wait a second, the party talking about this has made the most extreme laws in the nation here in Colorado, abortion until the day of birth, and their next step is going to be forcing you to pay for it. And that's not something that people in Colorado want to see happen.
Not only that, but you know that if they retain control of both chambers of the state legislature, they are going to refer to the ballot some constitutional amendment that enshrines this extreme and extremely liberal version of an abortion rights law into our state constitution. That will be the next step. And to that end, I am hearing, at least from the folks I know in the game, some real excitement about the possibility of us taking back the state Senate. I don't know about the House. What are your thoughts on those two chambers?
Yeah, definitely the Senate is particularly a target with fair redistricting maps. And again, we didn't want anything to be gerrymandered on our side. It was gerrymandered for the Democrats
always,
for the last decade. Yeah. We wanted fair lines, and we got them. So, yes, we have to win 3 out of 5 competitive state Senate seats, hold 2 of our good senators who are already in office right now. Very possible. I think all Republicans, though, George, have to remember that we can't just believe, oh, the red wave is going to crash over us in Colorado. It's a great year already. We have to actually demand of ourselves that we are working and doing everything we can with volunteering and donating until 7 p.m. on Election Day. That's what it's going to take back the state Senate. With win 9 out of 15 state House seats. So a steeper climb there.
Yeah,
but even
one.
Winning, you know, 6 state House seats would enable us to take the Democrats to the majority off the committees, which is what passes some of these crazy, crazy bills. So we just have to make significant gains in the House, and it'll go a long way.
I honestly think, too, that back in his secret chamber, wherever that is, Polis has to be rooting for divided government with the legislature, because if this guy's priming the pump for a run for president either in 2 years or 6, the last thing he wants to do is to continue to sign his name to these garbage bills like, let's make possession of the greatest poison to hit the streets in 100 years a misdemeanor. Let's make fentanyl a misdemeanor. You know, all these other things that he signs into law. I'm sure he would love to have Republicans have control of one of those houses so that they can keep some of that stuff from coming across his desk. Priscilla, when you're out there, how do we deal with the amount of money that is going to be spent to try to maintain Democrat control over every lever of state government? It can't just be money. I mean, what's the message that's going to win for us? Is it just the economy, or do we have something else?
Well, I hear that in Virginia, when Glenn Youngkin looked at that race and felt like it was insurmountable, and we've asked him, you know, like, what was it that helped you win that race? And they said it was unity of the party. And I know we say that, but we actually have to live that as a party. We have a really great chance this fall of winning a lot of seats. And we can't just talk about unity. We literally have to come together and get behind the Republican candidate. There's no third party option. There's no minor party option that realistically can win in the state of Colorado. So our only option, if we want to have a chance, is to get behind a Republican. And everybody can find somebody, even if they're not in your district. You can go outside of your district and find someone you believe in that you can campaign for. And this is not the year for us to sit back and say someone else will do it. It's kind of like at church, right?
Yeah.
I have to do it. I have to be the one that's out there.
Christy, last word and last question. My concern is exactly what Priscilla brought up, and that is, my sense is we have become so intensely divided along this issue of the stolen election stuff that even though we had every candidate pledge, and they all did, to support the other candidate if that person won the primary, we're seeing cracks in that. And I don't just see a drop off in enthusiasm from some of the stolen election folks, but this, and at least I get this from some listeners, a real resistance to wanting to support victory because their person didn't win. How do we overcome that?
A couple things, George. I think, first off, I don't think it's the majority of Republicans, even who supported those candidates who lost, who feel that way. I think the people who deeply feel that way often make their voices heard, so it's very loud, but it is a minority of people. And every day we hear about more people who did support someone else in a primary or who believe election integrity is the number one issue out there, who still are making the choice to come to the candidates who did win and pushing them over the top. So I think the majority of Republicans are on the same page doing that. For anyone who's still not, I think we have to be honest with ourselves. And if you do not cast a vote for the Republican in November, you are helping to reelect Jared Polis, Michael Bennet, Jenna Griswold, any of these Democrats who are destroying our state and our way of life and our freedoms and the Constitution day by day. So that is the stark difference in choices. You either get a Republican in who will preserve these freedoms, or you will help to elect a Democrat if you make any other choice.
Well, and you know, too, and I'll just finish with this, that not just the downside of them winning and maintaining control over whatever policy things they can influence now, but when you talk about Griswold and Weiser and the others, you are setting them up to run for other bigger offices and be a bigger thorn in the side of liberty-loving Coloradans. And so to put them down now makes a lot of sense. So I appreciate that. Hey, we'll have you guys back on. I think Billy came in and already coordinated some dates and times with you. Christy Burton Brown, Priscilla Ron, thank you. Keep up the good fight. Let us know what's going on. We'll continue to ask the questions. Thanks for coming in studio too, Priscilla. Thanks, Christy.
You bet. Thanks.
Thanks, George.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to be joined by our good buddies at Alpine Planning, and then we'll wrap up this hour and we'll head into the next one. I do have some questions for you about some of our conversation pieces here, and I want to hear from you about your support for the candidates across the board, whether your person won or lost. I've already seen a text here that says, oh, hey, you call all the people who believe in the stolen election stupid, which I've never said. And then you ask them to contribute to these other candidates. I want to know if we're going to be united on this or if there is a true division there that is going to potentially cost us the state of Colorado again. And we'll have that conversation after our next superstar guest from Alpine Planning. It's George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS. It's that time of the day where we get to be made smarter by our friends over at Alpine Planning. And to help us, it's Mr. Brian Gray. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing good. I don't know about smarter, but we do our best. How's that?
Buddy, that's great. And I've missed you. It's been a couple weeks.
I'm telling you, it's been about 3 weeks between the man calling you in and then the baseball tournament. How the kids do? How'd the kids do in the baseball?
Yeah, so on the tournament, they did well. My son was fortunate enough to get a couple home runs, which on a personal level was satisfying. The team could have won more games had they not been playing teams that were ridiculously large and good. I mean, they had boys out there playing that I thought, they're shaving. These guys are shaving. And in the South, you can play baseball year-round, and so you can just tell some of the difference. But it was such a great trip. They'll remember that forever. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, that's one in a million, and it's a good time. Let's take a look at these markets, George. We're in the red right now all the way across the board. We got the Dow down 246, S&P's down 14, and then the NASDAQ's down 8. Obviously, tensions are building right now as Pelosi gets close to visiting Taiwan. It seems that it potentially could happen tonight. China has made it very, very clear that they will take action if Pelosi indeed does make this trip and visits Taiwan. The one thing that investors just do not like at all is they do not like uncertainty in the markets, and that's what we're seeing right now. And you take a look at the debate continues, are we in a recession? If we are, typically recessions last 12 to 18 months. So economists are calling for even higher inflation in 2023.
Oh,
so
boy.
As an investor, what do you do?
Yeah.
Well, you've got to continue to monitor your 401k and IRAs. You got to continue putting money in the market. You got to save. It's long term. It's not short term. And then most of all, don't panic. And as always, if you want to get that second opinion, give Alpine Planning Group a call. We'd love to sit down and talk to you. But we got some bumpy times coming up, and we need to be prepared for them.
Brian, the White House seems determined to want to redefine recession to exclude what's going on now. Are you there? I mean, in your Brian Gray's opinion, are we in a recession? Are we on the doorstep? I mean, what are we looking for?
You know, it sure looks like it. You know, the definition says we are. But then if you travel, and I'm sure you saw this on your travels, planes are packed, you know. You drive on the highway, highways are packed. So I think what's going to happen in 2023 is that people are going to have to kind of revisit what's important to them and mainly pull the reins in a little bit, because people are starting to live paycheck to paycheck, and that's just not good.
Buddy, that's tough. But the other advice that you gave that I really appreciate is, even with that, the first thing you don't cut is the retirement and the investment stuff for the future, because that's where you really cut off your nose to spite your face. That is like a short – that's like sugar. That's a short-term high that you're going to regret down the road.
Absolutely. And the hardest part is, if you do go to the sidelines, when do you get back in? And that's where we see people get in trouble, is they sit on the sidelines too long and they actually miss the recovery. So, you know, like I said, crazy times out there right now, but keep your head in the game. Make sure you're working with somebody that takes a look at this every day.
Alpine Planning Group is a comprehensive financial planning firm committed to improving your emphasis on long-term financial success. Investing, as always, is a matter of trust, and they are prepared to earn yours. You can hear it when they call in here. Call them today. Call them today, 303-843-0918, 303-843-0918. Brian, thank you, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, George. See you.
Thank you.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
My thanks to Brian Gray from Alpine Planning for coming on. But my thanks, too, to Priscilla Ron, who is in studio, and Christy Burton Brown. You know, I've got this other issue, this other topic that I would love to speak with you about in the 8 o'clock hour, and it involves Deshaun Watson and some NFL stuff. But I'm intrigued by some of the texts that we've received here, and I'd love to have the conversation with you at 303-696-1971. Here's what I worry about, and here's what I'm sensing, is that when the hard-charging grassroots patriot-loving, stolen election folks, and that I don't mean that to disparage them, that's just how to describe them, lost their candidates across the board for every single race at the state level, whether it's the Senate, governor, you know, I guess they had one for attorney general, but he turned out to not be a Republican or a licensed attorney in Colorado. Nonetheless, it feels like some of that momentum has been sucked out of the campaigns, in that they have not turned their full fervor towards getting these other folks elected. And even though everyone pledged, hey, we're all going to support whoever the Republican nominee is, I think we all envisioned something more than that support being, yes, if I have to, I'll hold my nose and vote for them. The real thought here was, are we going to plow ahead? Now, what I'm seeing nationally is what is supposed to be a red tidal wave is starting to subside a bit. And it is not going to be the red wave that we think. The Republicans are going to do great. Don't get me wrong. But now, I don't know that we take back the Senate at the United States level. We'd need Joe O'Dea if we're going to do that. I don't know if we're going to have a huge impact in the House. I think we win back the House. I think that's done. I think Speaker Pelosi is out as Speaker. But I just don't know what that margin looks like. And now, when you look at it's Colorado, and we're already a little bit behind, right? Because we are not the state we were 20 years ago. We're not the state we were of my youth. And that is a center-right state. We're not even close. We are center-left. And if you look at our elected offices, that's pretty apparent. So are we going to see a change in some offices? I think that's probably true for a lot of good reasons. But I'm starting to worry that with this infighting, this division, this resurgence of this issue I thought we'd put down for the moment with the primary victories, and that is, are we going to be campaigning on the 2020 election, or are we going to be campaigning for the future of the state and the country? I'm now worried. I'm worried that the Republicans here are going to mail it in because of a lack of enthusiasm. Checks aren't going to be written. People aren't going to support them because it wasn't their preferred candidate. Is that you? Are you out there thinking to yourself, I really don't care at this point. I'm going to wait for another election cycle until I can get my Ron Hanks in there, or get my Tina Peters in there. My God, Tina Peters hasn't even conceded the race yet. 303-696-1971. That's the conversation I want to have with you, if we can get that thing started. And I say that because it is the pivotal, this will be the pivotal conversation about what happens in November. I agree with Christy Burton Brown. We cannot just rely upon the idea that, oh, good midterm election year, that's how the Republicans are going to win. I don't believe that. I don't believe that's how it's going to turn out. If folks aren't dedicated and motivated to fight for the individual candidates on the ballot, I think we're going to look at a Colorado that looks a lot like the one we're in right now, and that ain't all that good. When we come back, you get those numbers dialed, 303-696-1971, starting to get some texts coming in about canvassing and other things. We'll talk to you in a bit. George Brockler, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.